Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. I'm Mathilde, I'm your host. And today I want to talk about, is your mother truly a narcissist? And I'm going to give you one thing that you need to watch out for, no matter what label you're using or that your mother seems to be fitting into the description of. So let's start by asking you, are you wondering if your mother is truly a narcissist? Are you finding all the possible labels out there that could describe your mother to be confusing, leaving you not knowing how to approach her, how to behave with her? And I get it. I do get this from listeners and from clients quite often. Clients will say, is she truly a narcissist? Everyone is telling me the opposite. That she's just a lovely woman and I don't know, at this point I'm confused. Or they would tell me, I'm not sure if she's a narcissist. She seems more bipolar, or she seems more, and you can add the label of choice there. And so then what follows is this question. If she's not fully narcissistic, if I'm not sure, if she doesn't fit the description, because sometimes she's abusive, but sometimes she's really lovely, then how should I behave with her? And I so fully get that it can be very confusing. There are so many possible labels out there, and with each of them comes a full list of traits. And these traits very often overlap, so you can kind of fit her into different descriptions very, very easily. And then there are the labels that can be put on you to add to the confusion, causing you to doubt yourself and wonder, am I actually the narcissistic person here? Am I the one with some disorder? Is that why my mother can't get on with me? Is she right when she tells me that I'm the one that's messed up? And we all know that gaslighting is a thing a narcissistic mother does. But it can still sow a seed of doubt and create even more guilt and even more confusion for you. In my research about narcissism, at some stage I came across an article written by psychologists which stated that only about 2% of people labeled narcissists are actually diagnosable narcissistic people. All the rest, we can say, have narcissistic behaviors or narcissistic traits. At the time, this truly gave me pause, as I was convinced my family would boost that statistic up a bit for sure, because I have a bunch of narcissistic people in my family. And since I started this work, it became clear that so many mothers out there fit the description with their behavior. And yet, the more I worked with this topic, the more one thing has become clear. Does not matter the label we use to describe our mothers. If calling your mother narcissistic confuses you or brings you on a chase to find the perfect label for your mother because she doesn't quite fit the description, or if it causes you even more upset because you hate calling her narcissistic, then drop the label. A label is only useful when it actually supports you in understanding something a little better. That's literally all that a label is for. I personally don't really like labels because they box and limit anyone that gets those labels put on them. You know yourself. I mean, your mother probably has put a ton of labels on you, and because narcissistic mothers kind of do that. And that doesn't feel good. So a label can be a key to become more aware of some things and also to feel less alone in a situation. I mean, when we say that we are daughters of narcissistic mothers, we can feel less alone in it. There's other women out there, there's other people out there that are experiencing similar things from mothers that have these toxic traits, and so that can help us feeling less alone in it. But when it becomes confusing, and something that limits your capacity to actually heal and live a happy life, then it's not useful anymore. So where does this leave us? Where are we left with the whole, is my mother truly a narcissist? You can say to me right now, Mathilde, you've been talking about narcissistic mothers for 2 years and now you tell us to drop the label? What the hell? And I get it. I get it. But this is not about dropping the label or keeping it. You can drop it or you can keep it. That makes no difference. What makes all the difference is not the label. What makes all the difference is another thing, one thing that has truly changed the way I relate, not only with my mother and grandmother, but actually with everyone. Everyone that crosses my path. There's this one thing that I watch out for. And if they do this one thing, we're good. If they don't do this one thing, then we're not good. Then we don't have a relationship. Okay, so that's the one thing I want to talk about today. And that thing is she willing, so your mother, right now we're talking about her, is she willing to take full responsibility for her behaviors? That's it. Is she willing to take full responsibility for her behaviors? Narcissistic or not, if a person is not willing at any point to truly take responsibility for their own behavior, for their thoughts, for their words and actions, then that person is not a very healthy one to have around. Anyone can do something out of lack of awareness and end up hurting another person. It can happen to you, it can happen to me, it has happened to me many times, to behave in a moment of maybe when I was triggered, when I was upset, or a general lack of awareness, not realizing that my behavior is actually causing hurt to people close to me. That can happen. We're human. So that can happen to everyone. What makes all the difference is the willingness to listen when you're told you're hurting another with your words or with your actions, and then what follows after that, meaning an apology and a full change of behavior, doing whatever it takes for that to happen. In my personal experience with my family, I've had a few examples to go by. Some truly took to heart the fact that certain behaviors were not helpful and caused me hurt. Others didn't. So some members of my family, when we had a conversation and we just kind of went, right, this is just not working anymore, this is hurting me, they went, okay, I see, I hear you, I'm sorry, and I'm going to change this behavior from now on with you. That worked. That relationship is still going. Others didn't. Others ignored me altogether with what I said and kept the behavior going. Now, there can be a way in between. I have to say, some members of my family kind of ignored me, as in they didn't fully agree with me. They didn't fully see my point, but were still able to stop the most hurtful behaviors out of, you know what, I don't agree with you, but if you are telling me that this hurts you, well, then I'm not going to do it. So that's okay too. We can work with that. It's workable. But others, like my mother and my grandmother, not only point blank refused to see any personal responsibility in the situation, but also proceeded to hurt me more through gaslighting, triangulation, talking bad about me to others, and so on. They are the ones I'm not engaging with any longer, because they are not taking any responsibility ever for their behavior. So at this point, whether they're narcissistic or not is not something I care about too much. What I care about is that they have proven to have no willingness to take any personal responsibility, meaning their behaviors will not change. And by maintaining the relationship, I will only keep getting hurt. Because that's the thing, if someone is not willing to take responsibility for their behaviors, and here we're not talking about just an empty apology, like some, we know that some Narcissistic mothers do that. They just go, oh, I'm so sorry, in the moment, because, you know, that gets you back in the loop. And then the behavior remains exactly the same. So that's not actually taking responsibility. That's just giving you a little sugar cube so that you stop annoying them and you keep and you come back in whatever loop of toxic abuse that's going on and you get quiet again. So that's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about is the actual willingness to take responsibility, which leads to a change of behavior. It's really, really important. If someone is not willing to ever see their behaviors for what it is and take responsibility, then they're never going to change the behavior. And that's why we say, in general, when we're talking about someone that has strong narcissistic traits, there's no hope really, because a narcissistic person is not willing to take responsibility. That's like one of the key characteristics. They are never willing to take personal responsibility for their words, for their actions, and for their behaviors, ever. So that is the real thing that makes the difference. How can you determine if your mother is truly taking responsibility or not, or if it's not just one of her, again, ways to manipulate you yet again? I know from experience and from clients that there are plenty of mothers who truly seem apologetic, but then, as we say, don't change their behavior, making it all the more confusing. I do have an episode on this topic, on when is it truly an apology, or is it truly an apology by a narcissistic mother, and I will share the link below if you want to know more about this and kind of just get really tuned into the differences of what actually makes a real apology. But today, I want to give you some clear signs of what taking responsibility looks like, so you can tell the difference. And there's three main things I want to share with you today about, okay, if your mother does these three things, then she's taking some degree of responsibility and it's workable. It's kind of workable. But if she's not, well, then, you know, label or not label is not a person to be sticking around with, is not a person to just have a full-on open relationship with. Boundaries are really, really needed, because if someone is not willing to take responsibility around you, they're going to hurt you. They are going to hurt you. That's just what's going to happen. It's like having, I don't know, it's like swinging a baseball bat at random and not listening to people that are telling you you're hurting, you're hitting people around you, you're breaking things. Can you stop swinging the baseball bat? And the person going, no, I'm not swinging anything. What baseball bat? I don't see it. Well, you know, whether they're narcissistic or not, you better get out the room, because you're going to get hit. And that's what happens when we're around people that are refusing to take responsibility about their words and about their behaviors and actions. Okay, so the three things that if they're doing these three things, there's some hope. The first one is listening to feedback. The capacity to truly listen to what you have to say till the end, even when what you're saying is difficult to take. Now, this is something that's rare in people in general anyways, isn't it? But let's stick with the narcissistic mothers for today. As we know, narcissistic mothers don't deal well with feedback. That's another one of the key characteristics. As they take it all as personal, they immediately translate it as criticism. If your mother can sit with you, listen to what you have to say, maybe not even agree with it all, that's not the point, that's not required. But if she can respect you to the point of saying, I hear what you have to say, I hear what you're saying, I will need some time to process this, but thank you for letting me know, and there's some hope. The act of listening to your feedback Mother, you're swinging a baseball bat. Oh. Oh, I didn't quite see it that way, but let me pause and let me take your feedback for a moment. I'll think about it. There's some hope. That's what happened with the members of my family that I have actually been able to have a conversation. I've had, they sat with me. I actually am speaking plural. It was only one person, to be honest, but this person sat with me and listened to what I had to say. And a lot of what I had to say was actually really difficult to take. So it was a good effort. I'm like, okay, you're actually making an effort here. I've been making an effort to have a relationship with you for my entire life, but now you are sitting here with me and you are making an effort. You are actually listening to what I have to say and you're processing it. And sometimes when we're doing this, what we're telling them, it's quite intense to take. And I know that their behaviors has been horrendously intense for us to take, so I'm not making any excuses for them, trust me. But it's okay that they may need a little moment to kind of get their bearings and figure out where this baseball bat came from. How did it even land in their hands in the first place? That's okay. But that act of listening to feedback and not straight away jumping to taking it personal or making a big fuss about it or start yelling on the phone back at you or whatever they usually do, that's a sign. That's a really good sign. So if your mother does that, then there can be a conversation. Now, the next thing, and that's a biggie, that's a really big one, is respecting boundaries. And I know a lot of you are now doubled over laughing. My mother respecting boundary? Are you kidding me? Well, then that's your answer. Whether she's narcissistic or not, if she's not respecting your boundaries, you know, if you're asking her to stop hitting you with that baseball bat, and I'm talking figuratively, but in some cases that's unfortunate also physically that happens, and she keeps going, well then there's not really a relationship, is there? But anyway, so respecting boundaries. This is when you say, I won't take your call during the day as I'm at work. And she says, okay, I won't call then. I'll call at 6. Does that work for you? Have you ever had that from your mother? I never had that. I've had the, oh, well then, if I bother you, I won't call. Or, yeah, sure. And then she calls me anyways with some excuse or some fake emergency. So, but if your mother actually can take a boundary, and maybe she doesn't, maybe you're here going, well, she takes some, not all of them. Okay. Well, there's some ground. Again, it's workable. She takes some. There may be some more work to do. Like on your side, you can be a little more assertive and you can have higher stakes consequences for the ones that she's not actually fully respecting yet, but there can be some workability there. But if she's not taking them, if she's not respecting your boundaries, well then narcissistic or not makes no difference. There may even be a little bit of resistance. We'll give her that much. But she still does it because she has the capacity to honor your boundaries. That's good. That's good. She does not have to agree with you to be able to respect your boundaries. I know with this person that we were talking about, there are certain aspects of how I do things that this person does not fully agree with the way I go about certain things in life. And that's okay. You know, we don't have to agree, but my boundary is you don't get to tell me a whole heap of crap about what I'm doing and be judgmental about it. You know, if you want to have a relationship with me, you're going to have to accept this is how I'm living my life. And we're going to be best of friends, but like that's just my boundary. And so far this has been respected. So I'm like, okay, so I thought there was narcissism in your behavior, but actually what I'm seeing is that while you've listened to my feedback, you are respecting my boundaries. We can have a relationship. Disagreeing with you does not make her toxic. No one has to agree with you. Like you don't have to agree with anyone to be a good person. Trampling your boundaries does. That makes her toxic. That makes any person toxic. Trampling your boundaries is a toxic trait. It's not something you want to hang around with. So, again, you could have doubts. Is my mother truly narcissistic? Is my mother this? She's been through trauma, so maybe that's what's happened. And of course, who has not been through trauma? Like, I mean, in this society, I'm studying trauma in depth. And in this society, we've all been through some attachment trauma. Even the people with the best childhood on the planet, by lack of awareness, are carrying some trauma in their system. Some more than others. It's not a competition. But if she's not able to sit down with you and listen to your feedback and show you that she's taking it on board, and if she's not able to respect your boundaries, then the label doesn't matter. This is not a healthy person to be around or to have a full open relationship. You don't have to go no contact necessarily, but you gotta have measures in place, because this is not a healthy person to be around. Now, the third thing is kind of what wraps it all up, and it's implementing changes. Because it's all good to be sitting and taking the feedback. That's really already, it's a good step. But the next fundamental step is implementing the changes. An apology with no follow-up is just empty words. There may not even be the need for an apology if the behavior actually changes. I give you an example. My granddad has been, and I mean talking about narcissism, he has extreme narcissistic traits. But he's been told, I've set a boundary. Stop trying to convince me to talk to my mother. I'm not going to do that, and it's not going to work, and I don't want to have this conversation with you. Boundary. And he truly disagrees with me, of course. He would really love for me to have a conversation with my mother, because, of course, he doesn't see any of the abuse that's going on. He's blind to that. But he has stopped doing that. He can have a conversation with me without ever mentioning my mother. I can take that. This is workable. We can have a conversation. That is what I wanted. That was my feedback. That was my boundary. Changes have been implemented immediately. I haven't had to mention it again. That's okay. Now, because I know that there's a lot of other behaviors that are narcissistic. Our relationship is not the deepest, of course. I don't go talking about some stuff that I want to keep myself safe. There's a level of awareness, but I don't need with him to go full no contact. That, again, it's always a personal choice. The degree with which you want to engage or not is always your personal choice. There is you feel into that. I am never gonna tell you that you have to go no contact, or that you have to stay in contact, or what amount of contact you want to have. That's your personal choice. But that's just to give you an example of, although he doesn't agree, although yes, there's narcissism there, but he's respecting my boundary, he's taking my feedback, we can work with that. What also nullifies an apology or a change of behavior are passive-aggressive statements and constant complaining. So the willingness to take responsibility and implement change means take it fully. So there is no point in saying, listening to the feedback, saying sorry for what you've been doing, and even making the change, but then just going on about, if you weren't that difficult, I wouldn't have to make these changes. If you were a little bit more loving towards your mother, I wouldn't have to be so careful about what I say to you and this kind of crap. Well, let's call it crap because that's what it is. That, again, it's not actually implementing changes. That is just playing the violin on her victimhood and still gaslighting you into believing you're the bad person. So that doesn't count as good positive implementation of changes. Okay, so let's recap for a moment. The three things. The one thing is the taking responsibility, the willingness to take responsibility. And you know that the person is willing to take responsibility if they do these three things. They listen to feedback, they respect boundaries, and they implement changes. When your mother is willing to do these three things, then there is a possibility to truly shift the relationship. I know you've heard me saying if she's narcissistic, there's no hope. And I still stick with that. If there's strong narcissistic traits, I wouldn't hang around with the hope, because that's only going to hurt you. I've hoped for my mother to change for 35, 36 years of my life. I've hoped for my grandmother to change for 41 years of my life. And nothing. Like, they haven't changed, not even a tiny bit. Not even the tiniest bit. Nothing. They've never done any of these three things that I'm after saying. Never once. I don't have a memory of my mother using the words "I'm sorry," not even for, you know, not even in a fake way, which that's great, I suppose, but not even in the manipulative way. Not even then. She's never once apologized in "I'm 41," not even once. So, like, I know that with them, that is the story. Those three things they're not doing. And hanging around hoping that that's going to happen at some point, it's only going to be hurtful. But if you're seeing, I'm speaking here today for those of you that are in doubt, because I've had plenty of clients that have come to me going, but I don't know, I'm not sure, I'm in doubt. Sometimes she does this, sometimes she does that. Forget about the label and focus on these three things. Is your mother doing these three things? If she's not, then whether your mother is diagnosable narcissistic or not, there are no grounds for a healthy relationship anyways. And I know that that can be very hurtful to hear. Painful, maybe not hurtful, painful to hear, because we want to have that relationship. We want to have that mother-daughter beautiful relationship that we do see some people have, because it's not impossible. I have this relationship with my daughters. I'm blessed that way. But I've had to work for it. I've had to take a ton of feedback from them. I've had to learn to respect their boundaries. They're not my property. They're two individuals. And they, especially clearly growing up, they have their boundaries. And I've had to learn to bloody implement the changes that they were asking me to do. I've had to learn to do that. So, if your mother doesn't do, relating with someone that tramples your boundaries, that takes anything you say as personal criticism instead of listening to constructive feedback, and of course refuses to change anything about their behavior, is not healthy in any case. At this point, you could say, my mother does listen to me. It's good for a while, but then falls back in old patterns. What do I do then? And this is a really good question, one that I've had from clients often enough. There is no right or wrong way to go about this, and it is always your choice. So that, you know, with me, that that's really something that's very important for me to say to you. It's your choice. In my experience, I guard my energy, meaning there are some people I don't mind going over the same things again and again, as long as they're willing to take responsibility, because shifting patterns is no easy task, and it is only human to repeat them from time to time. I know for myself, I've been working very, very much to shift patterns in my own system for years now, but definitely with a particular focus in the last year or two. And I do fall back into patterns from time to time. And my daughters, for example, will have to tell me, "Mom, you're doing that again." And I'm like, oh, okay. Thanks for letting me know. So that can happen. What I look at is the general trend. And that's what makes the difference. Is the trend generally improving? So when we're talking about your mother falling back into some patterns, is the general trend improving? Or time has passed and we're truly at the same over and over and over? If we're feeling like we're going in circles, rehearsing the same bullshit over and over, that's not a trend. That's not a good trend. So that is what I'm looking at. Once with someone who is truly willing to take responsibility, usually the trend is up, meaning even if there's a repeat of some patterns, you can see that most of it is getting way better. If that's not the case, maybe it's not worth your time and energy to keep insisting, because you can't force someone to take responsibility if they don't want to. You can't force them. That is not something that you can enforce on a person. Bottom line is, no matter the label, if your mother refuses to take responsibility for her words and actions towards you, keeping the hurting behaviors going, then boundaries need to be implemented to the extent that's necessary for you to be able to protect yourself. This is important. Whatever about the label, if she doesn't take responsibility, if she doesn't listen to feedback, if she doesn't respect your boundaries, the one that you've set so far, if she doesn't implement changes in her behavior and she's keeping on hurting you with no positive improvement trend to be seen, then boundaries need to be implemented to the extent that's necessary for you to be able to protect yourself. What with others? What if you feel others in your life have narcissistic behaviors? Because as I said at the beginning, I'm actually applying this to everyone now, not just to my mother. What happens when you feel you may have married a narcissist, for example? For many of us with narcissistic mothers, once we discover about narcissism, we can notice some traits are present in our partner. This can lead to, again, confusion and doubt in our marriage even, and sometimes for very good reasons, but not always. Like most definitely was my case, when I discovered narcissism, I thought, okay, I've married a full-blown narcissistic man. He actually hilariously thought the same about me. So we were like looking at each other like, who's the narcissistic person in this room? And I do see this with clients all the time. So to answer, I'm not going to obviously answer to that today in this episode, but if you want to know more about that, head to the He Wants, She Wants Marriage podcast, which I'm hosting with my husband, and listen to episode 8, Have You Married a Narcissist? The Difference Between Narcissism and Insecure Attachment. And I'll drop the link in the description below so you can go listen to that. So if you're here and you are in a long-term relationship, or even indeed, if you just met someone and you're not sure, are they narcissistic? Because with your history, with your mother and stuff, maybe your previous history in relationship, you're worried that they could be narcissistic. We have an episode on the He Wants, She Wants Marriage podcast for you to go listen to. So I'll have the link to that in the description of this episode. I hope this was helpful for you. And with that, I'm going to send you lots of love and say bye for now.